Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your compassion. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the grace you have given to us, even the grace that is sustaining us. Thank you for making us victorious over all the powers and forces of darkness. Thank you for giving us dominion over every sin and works of the flesh. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to move forward and to break limitations. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you for shining your light upon our heart and mind so that we can learn your truth, so that we can know your truth and be free. Thank you for your light that is exposing your will through us that time. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to grow in the knowledge of you. Thank you for giving us spiritual maturity concerning spiritual things. Thank you, Father. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for how you have been helping us to go through this fasting season. Thank you for making it easy for us to stay without food and water, and also to pray effectively during this fast. Thank you, Father. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for the previous Healing Streams program we have had on this platform. We thank you, Lord, for how you have ministered to us through these programs. We thank you because today you're going to minister to us again, and you're going to touch our lives and heal our sicknesses and take away our diseases and give us deliverance and victories. Thank you, Father. I ask, O Lord, that you have your way in our midst right now. Take your place and help us in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for we know you have answered. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we are free. Amen. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. We're going to be looking at some scriptures before we pray. And just as we did last Tuesday, we talked on hell. We talked on the topic that says, don't choose hell. So today we're going to be focusing on the kingdom of heaven. Yeah, the kingdom of heaven. Yeah. So I will call the topic, or I will call the title, the reality of the kingdom of heaven. Yeah, the reality of the kingdom of heaven. And we're going to be looking at a lot of verses that are in Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. So that is going to be our main text. Yeah, so I want you to open your Bibles to Matthew 13. Matthew chapter 13. We're going to really look at some verses here. And let me start from here. Matthew chapter 13 from verse 10. On your own, you can read this chapter from beginning to the end. I mean, on your own, whenever you have time, you can read this Matthew 13 from verse 1 to the end. Yeah, but we are not going to be doing that because of time. But I'll be picking different verses, and I'll be talking on different issues that Jesus himself talked about or mentioned about in this passage. Now, before we go into some of those issues raised in this passage, I want us to look at verse 10 and 11, Matthew 15, verse 10 and verse 11. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Yeah, I'm going to read those verses again. Verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? Verse 11. He answered and said unto them, that is Jesus, answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Praise the Lord. I want you to pick something from those two verses I've just read. The first is that Jesus chose to speak in parables, even to the same people that he came into the world to save. He came into the world to save everyone. I believe you know that. Jesus didn't come to save only the disciples or to save just some very few people. He actually came to save everyone. Yeah, but he chose to speak in parables to the same people he came to save. Now, that's the first thing I want you to take note of. I mean, he chose to talk to them about heaven through parables, not in a way that they would easily understand. Because if you don't want someone to really understand something in detail, what you would do is to speak in parables. Yeah, that is what you would do. And that was what Jesus was doing. He didn't want them to easily understand the fruit about God's kingdom. You know, the second thing that I want you to see in those two verses that I've read is that the kingdom of heaven has a lot of mysteries. Yeah, the kingdom of heaven has a lot of mysteries. Mysteries that even the angels that are in heaven, they are still working hard to understand or to uncover. Now, what is a mystery. A mystery is something that is hidden from the understanding of whoever is looking at that thing. How should I put it? A mystery is when you are seeking to know something, but the understanding of that thing is hidden from you. Yeah, you want to know that thing, you want to understand the thing, but the understanding of the thing is hidden from you. Yeah, that is a mystery. So it means there is no way you will know that thing except whoever is hiding the understanding of it expose it to you. Yeah, whoever has made that thing mysterious, except that person decides to explain it to you or expose it to you, there is no way you will know it. Yeah, there is no way you will understand it. So that is a mystery. That is a mystery. Now, Jesus said that to you it is given to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, it is not given. Yeah. Jesus said, let me read it again. Matthew 13, verse 11. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Yeah, so the kingdom of heaven has a lot of mysteries. Yeah. That's the second thing I want you to know, to take note in those two verses. Yeah, and through these two things we have taken note, we'll be able to understand the rest of the things that happened in that passage, or the rest of the issues that were raised by Jesus in this particular chapter. Now, Jesus was talking to a lot of people, and he was talking to them in parables. Yeah. And then he considered his disciples as worthy to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven than the crowd. I mean, he considered the disciples worthy to know the mysteries. I mean, to know a lot about heaven. Whereas he disapproved or disqualified the rest of the people. Why? Yeah. Why? Why would Jesus set aside some people and consider those people worthy to know about heaven? Not just about this earth, but about the kingdom of heaven. And then why would Jesus set aside some other thousands of people and consider them not worthy to know about heaven? Now, the answer is very simple. The answer is also in this same chapter 13 of Matthew. And let us look at it together. Let me read from verse 13 to 15. Yeah, Jesus was explaining why he doesn't want the people to know about heaven. He was explaining to them the reason why he would rather talk to them in parables than in plain statements. Now, in verse 13, he said, "Therefore speak high to them in parables, because they see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. Verse 15, for these people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." Yeah, can you see those things Jesus said? Yeah, he said the people are confirming the prophecy of Isaiah, which says that they will hear and they will not understand. They will see and they will not understand. Yeah, and they will not perceive. Why? Why would people hear and not understand? Why would they see and not discern? I mean, even when what they are hearing is in a language that is very plain, and yet they are not understanding, and what they are seeing is so plain, but yet they can't understand. Why would there be people like that? Or why are the people like that? Why are the people having ears And what are they hearing? And yet can't understand. And what are they seeing? I mean, physical things. This is not, Jesus wasn't, or let me say, that verse wasn't talking about spiritual things. Or maybe I should say, it wasn't talking about them being shown something spiritual, or maybe they being shown something in their dreams or in their vision. Now this is it was talking about them being shown things. So their physical eyes. Yeah, and then being told things to their physical ears. Yeah. So God is showing them things physically. Yeah, but they are not getting the message. And God also is speaking to their ears, and still they are not getting the message. Yeah. Why would that happen to anyone? Why would someone be looking at something and yet not get what it means? Yeah. Even though the person should get it. And why would someone keep hearing something and yet not understand what it means? Yeah, and Jesus also answered that question. He also told us the why in that verse 15. Yeah, he told us the why. In verse 15, he said, for these people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Yeah, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears. Yeah, this blindness and deafness wasn't caused by God. It was caused by the people themselves. So the reason why Jesus was talking to them in parables was because they are already blind and they are already deaf spiritually. Why? Because they have been hearing. They have been hearing about the kingdom for a long time. Yeah, but because they were not comfortable about the word of God, about the will of God, about the righteousness of God, so they covered their ears and they closed their eyes. Yeah, because they hate the word of God, they hate the truth. So over the years, they blindfolded themselves. Yeah, because God gave them the Old Testament. He gave them the prophet. He gave them the priest. Yeah, he gave them the Bible. But they weren't comfortable with the truth. So they would not allow the truth to prevail over their souls. They would not allow the truth to change them. Yeah, they would not obey the truth. So because of that, they were blindfolding their eyes of their spirit and the ears of their spirit. Yeah, so that was why when Jesus came, he was not speaking plainly to them. Because if he does, they still cannot understand. So it will just be a waste of time. It will be a waste of time. Yeah, it will be a waste of words. Yeah, that was why he was speaking to them in parables. Yeah, let us read that 15. It says, verse 15. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. So you can see that getting healed has a lot to do with the revelation of the truth, the revelation of heaven, the revelation of God's word. Getting healed has a lot to do with knowing the truth as it is, knowing God as He is, knowing God's word as it is, knowing heaven as it is. So these people, they blindfolded their eyes by themselves. Yeah, because they don't want to follow God. They don't want to please God. They don't want to obey God. So, and that is why, even when the truth is appearing before their eyes, they still cannot understand. You know, many times I have confirmed this thing that Jesus said here. I have confirmed it many times with many people. Even in this ministry, I have confirmed this statement of Jesus many times. Yeah, because I've seen people finding it so hard to understand the truth, even when it is so clear before their eyes. Yeah, and then I began to to myself, what is actually wrong with so-called Christians? Yeah, what have really gone wrong with so-called church people? Yeah, because the things that preach and teach, they are so clear. I mean, we preach and teach them in very clear language or statement or sentences, very straightforward and very clear. But yet, they don't understand. And I begin to ask myself, what exactly is wrong with this generation? Yeah, because the same people who participated in programs or meetings where they were told a lot of things from the Word of God, yeah, the same people will be found saying things and doing things and thinking things that are directly opposite to what they have heard from, you know, from preachers like myself. Yeah, and then I began to ask myself, what exactly is wrong with our generation? And then I began to ask myself, how many times do we have to keep repeating the Word of God, yeah, before they would believe or understand or accept, even though these things are very clear and very straightforward, very straightforward and clear enough to be understood, but yet they seem not to understand. I mean, so-called children of God seem not to understand, and they seem not to believe, and they seem not to obey. Yeah, and sometimes, some of these people, they come to me personally, maybe to my inbox, or they come to me face to face, and then they start to talk about things they are going through and how they need help. And then I begin to wonder what is going on with them, because everything they are saying is confirming that all the things I have been teaching them, they are not doing anything with those teachings. Yeah, because if indeed they were obeying the teachings, they wouldn't have the issues they now have and are now looking for solutions. Yeah, so many times I find myself repeating the same thing that I've already talked about during prayer sessions, during my teachings. I find myself repeating the same things to them. when they came to me for counsel. Yeah, why? Because they ended in troubles because they weren't following the truth. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Yeah. So the problem with our generation is not absence of solution. The problem of this generation is deliberate rejection of the solution that God has provided for us. Yeah, deliberate rejection and ignorance of the solutions God has provided for us. That is our problem. We know the solution to our problems. We know the way out. We know the truth. We know what it is that we should do with our lives, with our time. Yeah, we know everything. We have everything in the Bible. But we just deliberately don't want to do the truth. That is the problem with Christians of today. And because of this deliberate wickedness that we are practicing, that is why our spiritual eyes is now blind, and our spiritual ears is now deaf. And that is why Jesus would not show us his kingdom. I mean, the mysteries of his kingdom. Yeah. Because we have not humbled ourselves to obey God's word and to embrace his ways and his righteousness. So in so doing, we become blind. Yeah, and of course, we are not doing that because we don't want the truth. People want lies. People hate the truth. They only want lies. Yeah, and that is why preachers that preach lies and deceit, they easily get followers than the ones that say the truth all the time. Yeah, they easily get famous than those that really speak the truth all the time. Yeah. Because men love darkness than the light. Men love lies. They want lies than the truth. So they want to do their own things, their own ways. They don't want God. Yeah, they don't want to please God. They only want to please themselves. So Jesus saw the hearts of the people. Yeah, one thing that I really love about the ministry of Jesus when he was here as a man, you know, is that He ministers to people's heart. Yeah. He wasn't ministering to people's head or people's mind. He was after people's heart. He was after people's souls. Yeah. So when he looked at those people in Matthew chapter 13, he saw that they don't want the truth. I mean, he saw with his spiritual eyes, he could discern that they don't want the truth. Yeah. And then he doesn't want to send them away. So he decided to speak to them in parables instead. Yeah. So why did he choose to speak to them in parables? Another reason is because he wants to stir up curiosity in their hearts. Yeah, he wants them to become curious for the truth. Like the disciples were curious. Most times, the disciples, they will go back to him and say, "This thing you said in parables, can you tell us what the interpretation is?" Yeah, so it was, let me say, he spoke to them in parables to stir up fungi in their hearts. Desperation in their hearts and curiosity in their hearts so that they would want to know more and so that they would come to him for clarification and for interpretation. But the funny thing is that none of them came even for that. Only the disciples will always come for interpretation, yeah, of those parables. Yeah, none of them was asking questions. Yeah, and in fact, at the point, even the people who called themselves his disciples, they began to leave him, you know, to the point that it only remained 12 with him. The rest left. Because they said the things he was teaching was too hard to understand. Now, if his teachings were too hard, Is it not a wise thing to ask questions? Okay, what do you mean by this? We want to know. Yeah, but their heart could not receive the truth. Their heart could not contain the truth, so they had to leave him. Now, my point is that if we are going to begin to know the realities of the kingdom of heaven, we have a lot of work to do on ourselves. Yeah. I know some of you are just joining. The topic of the teaching is the reality of the kingdom of heaven. And we are looking at several verses in Matthew chapter 13 to discuss the topic, and I don't think I can finish the discussion today. So maybe next Tuesday we'll continue from wherever I stopped. Yeah. So as I said, if we are going to begin, I mean, if this generation is going to begin to know the realities of the kingdom of heaven, we must walk worthy of it. Yeah, because Jesus will only show those whose hearts are hopeful the truth. Yeah, he will only show those whose hearts are hopeful. Those who really want to please God. Those who really want to know God. Those are those that Jesus would make to see the reality of his kingdom. I pray that you will not disqualify yourself from having access to the knowledge of the mysteries, or to the understanding of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. In Jesus' name. Yeah. So let us look at that verse 15 again. Jesus said, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. Yeah. So there is a lot of revelations that is hidden from many of us today in the church. We read the Bible, we study it, and we even meditate on it, but we see nothing. Even some people, they claim they see things. They claim they have even seen Jesus face to face. Yeah. But then I looked at what they claim they have seen. And sometimes they even boast about those things they have seen. Yeah. And then I looked critically at the things they are boasting about. And I realized that it is nothing. Yeah. It is nothing. Yeah. It is not what Jesus really wants to show them. Yeah. There is so much Jesus wants to show us about his kingdom. So much. But we are not seeing them because something is wrong with our heart. Yeah, and that is why we are not getting healed and we are not getting delivered. Yeah, do you think it is every healing that will happen through prayers? No. It is not every healing that is going to happen through prayers. That is someone that has the anointing pray for you. It is not every healing that will happen through that medium. Yeah. Some healings will only happen as your eyes become opened to see God's revelations, to see the truth. Yeah. And as you see that truth, then immediately the truth would set you free from your disease and captivity. Yeah, but many of us have not yet seen the truth that will heal us, because our heart is wrong before God. He would not show us even the truth that would heal us and that would set us free. Yeah. If you read John chapter 3, and then you go through the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus, you will see that at a point, Jesus was surprised that Nicodemus couldn't really understand what he was telling him. You can go and read that place in John chapter 3. Yeah, and Jesus was telling him, he said, all these things I've been telling you, all these things I've been telling you, they are earthly things. Yeah, he was telling him, he said, if I tell you earthly things and you still don't understand, how then will you understand if I tell you heavenly things? Or maybe I should open the place and read it to you. Open your Bibles to John chapter 10. Yeah, John chapter 3, verse 12. John chapter 3, verse 12. He said, if I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Yeah, and you know, this was a religious leader, a reputable religious leader who have taught in the synagogues several times. In fact, some people call him teacher of teachers. I mean, Nicodemus. He knows the law a lot. He knows the Old Testament a lot. And Jesus was telling him about even the things that have been written in the Old Testament. He was telling him about being born again, about the things that pertains to what God has promised mankind. But yet he was finding it difficult to understand. And Jesus was saying, if I tell you, if I have told you earthly things and you don't understand, how will you understand if I tell you everything? Yeah. Now, I know some of you probably want me to start talking about angels, and then the rains in heaven, and then all the powers and the glory of heaven. Yeah, but the truth is that none of them would make any sense to you if your heart is still wrong towards God. Yeah, none of them would make any sense. You won't even understand. The things that I teach, most times, are just a fragment of the things that I know. Yeah, the things that I teach, most times, they are so little compared to what I would want to teach. But I realize that it's a waste of time teaching things that people don't have the heart to receive. Yeah, it is just a waste of time. Yeah, so what is really important is that we make our heart right with God. That will make our lives right with God. And then as we begin to seek for knowledge, for revelation of the realities of His kingdom, He will begin to show us bit by bit. He will begin to show us gradually. Yeah, but if our hearts are not right, even if we seek for divine revelation, we will not see anything. And if you continue to seek with desperation the revelation of heavenly things with a wrong heart, what is going to happen to you is that a demon will start to show you things. Yeah, another spirit will start to show you things. Yeah, so when your heart is wrong, you're going to attract the realms of darkness to yourself. But when your heart is right towards God, you're going to attract the realms of God unto yourself. Yeah, that is just the truth. Now, if we look at, let us go back to that Matthew 13. Yeah, we're going to really look at some of the parables that talks about heaven. Some of Jesus' parables that talks about heaven. Let us read verse. Yeah, this is Matthew 13. Let us read verse 24. Let me read from verse 24. Matthew chapter 13. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, did not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then art it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. And the servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Praise the Lord. So you can see that Jesus later explained this parable to the disciples. So maybe we should look at his explanation before I continue. Let us read from verse 36, Matthew 13, verse 36. Yeah, this is the explanation. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. And therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who has ears to hear, let them hear. Yeah, so you can see that he explained to them the parables of the tares among the wheat. Now, don't forget, he said, when men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. Yeah. Now, Jesus was saying that the kingdom of heaven is here. From this parable, we can see that the kingdom of heaven is here among God already. Yeah, don't forget that he said, he, the Son of Man, was the one that planted the good seed. And the good seed is the children of the kingdom. Yeah. And then he said, the devil also came and planted his own children. Now, what that means is that to know about heaven, you must first of all acknowledge that it is here. Yeah. You must acknowledge that the kingdom of heaven is here among us. Until you acknowledge that, you will not really know the realities of the kingdom of heaven. Yeah, because God is going to be using everything that is happening here to explain heaven to you. Yeah, to expose heaven to you. Yeah, so don't think that heaven is so different from what we already have here with us. Yeah, before I used to think like that, but later I realized that it is not so different. Yeah, from what we already have here with us. Now, what I mean by what we already have, I'm talking about the truth about who God is. I'm talking about the truth about who Jesus is. I'm talking about right and wrong, light and darkness. Yeah. I'm talking about the righteousness that we already have now. Yeah, the holiness, the purity that we already have now, the power that we already have now, the victory, the dominion that we already have now. Yeah, so they are not so different from what we are going to see up there. Yeah. Even the battles we are fighting now, even in heaven, they fight battles also. Yeah, just that they don't lose battles, they always win. Yeah, so the first thing that you need to do if God is going to really begin to show you the realities of his kingdom is that you must agree that his kingdom is here inside of you and he among us. Yeah, and you must also be able to acknowledge that there is the enemy of his kingdom. Yeah, and there are children of the darkness, and there are children of his kingdom. Children planted by the devil, and children planted by Jesus. Yeah. So in that parable, it was telling them that even after God has produced his own children here on earth through the gospel, that is those people, they heard the gospel and they repent, they repented and they became children of God. Even in the same way, Satan will also produce a lot of children. Yeah, because he wants to overpower or overcome the children of God's kingdom. Yeah, but Jesus said, you know, Jesus told the servant, he said, don't go and take away the pigs now. Leave them. That is, don't go and destroy the children of the enemy, the children of Satan, the children of darkness. Jesus said, don't go and destroy them yet. Let them also grow alongside with the children of the kingdom. Yeah, but there will be a time when they will be removed and they will be judged into hell. Whereas the children of the kingdom will be harvested into heaven. Yeah, so I'm going to round up the teaching with this parable. Next Tuesday, we're going to also choose another parable about the kingdom of heaven. Yeah. Now, before we round up the teaching, there are a lot of things I didn't know about God. I mean, I'm talking about my own personal experience with God and with God's kingdom. Now, there are many things I didn't know about God and his kingdom until I begin to see myself as someone who is in a very tough battle. Until I begin to see that in this world, I am in the midst of a very serious battle going on between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. Battles going on between the forces of light and the forces of darkness. Yeah. So as I begin to, you know, as I first of all see myself and someone who is in the midst of two forces contending with each other, and I realized that one of the forces wants my soul, and the other also wants my soul, I mean, I realized that the forces of darkness, they wanted my soul. And then the forces of the light, they also wanted my soul. And then, as I made up my mind that I will not let darkness have my soul, and that I will join the forces of light to fight the forces of darkness, then I began to know much more about the kingdom of God, which is of course the forces of light. Yeah, so some of you are not really knowing about God and His kingdom because you are not really deciding the person you want to serve for the rest of your life. Yeah, you have not really decided who should have your soul. Yeah, whether it's the darkness or is the light. Yeah, so when you have really chosen a side and you're so desperate about it, then you start to know the realities of heaven, because heaven is already here. Yeah. So it was at that point when I chose the side to follow. That was when I began to know who Jesus is, who God is, and what His kingdom really is. Yeah. So when Jesus said that, let the tares and the wheat grow together, He knows what He was saying. So Jesus was saying, let darkness and light, let them cohabitate together. Let them grow together. Yeah. What He's saying is that let there be war, and let's see which one will win in the end. Yeah, so don't think Jesus is not aware of how polluted the world is right now. How dark, how evil, how dead, that is, how spiritually dead the world is right now, how carnal the world is right now, how sinful the world is right now. So Jesus knows about it. But He decided to let the evil to continue to grow. Yeah, He decided to allow the darkness to continue to grow, to allow the wickedness continue to grow. Why? Because you who claim that you belong to the light, you must be tested. You must be tried. Your faith must be tested. Your love must be tested. So Jesus is using the devil and the children of the devil to test us who claim to be the children of the land. Yeah, that was why He's not killing them. Jesus knows those that will repent and those that will not repent. And usually it would make sense if right now He just killed those ones that will not repent. If right now He just kill all of them. But Jesus is not going to do that. He said, let the tares and the wheat grow together. Why? Because Jesus is also using the tares. So He's using the devil and the children of the devil to prove hard, to prove we really are, if we really belong to Him or not, and to also train hard and to test our strength. Yeah, so at that time, I began to know if I'm, you know, I began to know how strong I am by how much victory I get over darkness. Yeah, because God exposed me to very deep darkness. He allowed me to be attacked and to be oppressed and to be enslaved by very deep and terrible and serious darkness, which I believe many of you cannot survive apart from such depth of darkness. But God allowed me to face such deep and strong darkness. Yeah. And then He would sit down and watch if I would win or not. Yeah, you know, I could see Him sit down and then watch, and then He's watching if I'm going to win over the enemy or not. And for years, I fought terrible powers. I fought terrible spirits. Yeah, but the good news on that, I mean, the good news is that I overcame. And I overcame because at every point in time, I will go to God and say, how do I win now? How do I win these ones? And then He began to show me. So I learned a lot about the kingdom of God in deep darkness. Yeah, so if you think that the kingdom of heaven is, you know, is far away and, you know, is just up there in light, in the light, you are being short-sighted. Even the kingdom of heaven is here and is inside the deep darkness. So when the Bible told us in John chapter 1 that the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That verse was the reality in my whole life. So I fought darkness to the point where I saw that God is inside darkness, and the greatness of His power is deep inside darkness. But people are not seeing that. Yeah, you know, when you want, you know, when many people want to know about heaven, they just want to see an angel. They want to see an angel with a very beautiful countenance and a very beautiful wing. And maybe the angel come knocking at the door. And then the angel say, oh, look at the throne of God. Look at this, look at that. Well, that can happen, but that is not all. In fact, that is just a fragment of what the kingdom of heaven is. Yeah. So God is able to show you a lot of Himself if you first of all began to see that there is a battle going on here on earth, and that you must win. Yeah, so that was how I began to know a lot about God's kingdom. Yeah, so to know a lot about God's kingdom is to also know a lot about the dark kingdom. Yeah, because there is no way you will know so much about the realities of heaven if you have not conquered a lord of darkness. Yeah, because right now as I'm talking to you, there is a lot of darkness that is standing to stop you from knowing the realities of God and His kingdom. So don't think you're going to know the deep things of God without overcoming the darkness that don't want you to know. Yeah, so don't just think you just get caught up into heaven and then start seeing the glory of heaven and then start seeing the angels flying about and then start talking with the angels or start talking with Jesus. Don't think all of that they just come or they will just happen like that. Yeah, you have a lot of darkness to contend with, even to begin to know the depth of heaven. I don't know if I get my point. Yeah, so the first key into seeing the reality of heaven is to first of all acknowledge that you are in a war, even right on earth, a warfare that is going on between two kingdoms, between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. And then you must choose a side. And then you must determine to win. Yeah. So that was how I began to know a lot about the kingdom realities. I began to know them from deep darkness. Yeah, and that is why, as I am like this, it is very hard for any devil to deceive me. Yeah, it is very, very hard. Yeah, for any devil to deceive me. Now, what I mean by deceive is that, you know, devil can pretend. You know, the Bible says, even Satan is appearing now as angel of light. So even if Satan appears as an angel of light, he still cannot deceive me. Why? Because I know him. I mean, I know Satan. I know his realm a lot. So there is no way he will be able to deceive me. No way. Yeah, so if you have, you know, you have allowed the Spirit of God to train you into a warrior, then you'll be able to know that this is light and this is darkness. If you have allowed Him to train you through many battles, yeah, because the Holy Spirit will train you through battles. Yeah, as you fight battles, He'll be training you alongside. Yeah. So when you see an angel of darkness appearing as angel of light, you will know immediately. Yeah, because the victory you have over the realms of darkness will always remain with you. Yeah, so let's say I have victory over some realms of darkness. And then a demon from one of the realms I've already conquered is now coming to me, masquerading as an angel of light and trying to give me a message that is not from God. Because I've already conquered the realm that demon is coming from. Immediately the demon appears, I will know that this is a demon. I will just know automatically. So real discernment is a function of real victories and dominion. So you cannot discern a realm you have not conquered. You cannot discern a realm of darkness that you have not conquered. It's not possible. And that is why today a lot of preachers have been deceived, even through visions and encounters, and even through dreams, and even through the voice they hear. They thought it was God speaking to them, but it was not God. Why? Because they have not conquered the realm that Satan is using to deceive them. So in conclusion, what I'm saying is that, I mean, what I can pick from the parable of the taste and the wheat is that Jesus intentionally has put us into this world full of battles and full of deep darkness, so that we can become strong and mature as we win over the dark kingdom. And when it discovers that you are now strong, then you'll be able to show you more of the realities of his kingdom. Because there are some things that God can never tell you or show you until you are matured to see and to know them. So I'm going to stop here. So I'm still going to continue with the other parables in this Matthew chapter 13. I'm still going to continue with them next Tuesday. Let us pray now. I want you to talk to the Lord. You're going to say, Father, help me to stop sitting on the fence concerning the warfare that is going on in the head at this time. Say, Father, help me to pick your side. Help me to cooperate and align with your kingdom to fight and conquer the dark kingdom that is right here on earth, waging war against your kingdom. Open your mouth and begin to pray like that. We saw in the scriptures where Moses stood at the entrance of the camp, and Moses said, "Who is on the Lord's side?" Even now, Jesus is asking that question. Who is on the Lord's side? Who is on my side? Who is on the side of my kingdom? So whose side are you? Are you with God's kingdom? Or you are with the enemy of God's kingdom. Whose side are you? Say, Father, help me to join your forces, your kingdom forces that is now fighting the forces of darkness right here on earth. Help me to choose the right side. You cannot continue to live a carnal life and think you have chosen the right side. You cannot continue to live a worldly life, a sinful life, a selfish life, self-centered life, and think you have chosen the right side. You cannot continue to live a lustful life, a prideful life, and think you have yet chosen the right side. Say, Father, help me to choose the right side. Help me to align and agree with your kingdom here on earth that is fighting the kingdom of darkness. Help me, O Lord, to choose your kingdom in the name of Jesus. I believe you're praying like that. Lord, help me to stop sitting on the fence. And some of you have not really made up your mind where you really belong. Concerning many issues, you have not really chosen the lost side. Yeah, though you can open your mouth and say, I have chosen the lost side, but your action does not really prove that. Yeah. So, Father, help me to choose your side in the battle that is going on in the world right now between your forces and the dark forces. Father, help me to choose your side. Help me to choose your side. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. We have two more prayer points. The parable that we looked at also implies that there's going to be great deception at this time. In fact, there is already, not even there's going to be. There is already great deception at this time, because there is already a great mixture. So light has mixed with darkness, and Jesus allowed it. According to this parable, he allowed light to mix with darkness. He allowed the tares to mingle with the wheat. Yeah, you know, such that anyone that doesn't really look properly, you might think that the tares is also the wheat. And in fact, Satan is making the tares look exactly like wheat. It's making lies look exactly like the truth. It's making darkness look like the light. And a lot of people have been deceived. A lot have been deceived. Maybe you have been deceived too. Yeah, because deception is that. As I say, deception is when the wrong thing is being painted and designed and fashioned in a way that it will look exactly like the truth or like the right thing. That is deception. Yeah, so maybe even you have been deceived and you don't know, because deception will not come to you in a way that you easily know that this is a lie. You will not easily know. I have been deceived before, so I know what it means to be deceived. Yeah, I know what it means to be deceived. So you're going to pray. You're going to place your right hand on your head. You're going to say, Father, deliver me from every deception of darkness that have already captured my soul. Open your mouth and begin to pray like that. Pray like that. Say, Father, deliver me now. Deliver me now. Deliver me now. For years, I couldn't conquer some level, some high level dark realms or dark powers because I was deceived by them. And I didn't know that I was deceived by them. So when you have been deceived, you will keep fighting Satan and you will keep losing. Yeah, you keep fighting his operations, his attacks, and you keep losing because you are under his captivity. So to be deceived is to be captured. Yeah, until you are delivered. That is when you can win them. Have you been deceived by yourself? Because even you can deceive yourself. Say, Father, deliver me from every deception of darkness that have captured my soul. And have made me to think that I am doing the right thing. Every deception of darkness that have captured my soul and is giving me the impression that I am in the truth and that I am in righteousness. Oh Lord, deliver me now from them all in the name of Jesus. Deliver me from every lie I have believed. Even the lies I convinced myself to believe. Father, deliver me now from them all so that I can be victorious over the dark kingdom. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. And lastly, you're going to pray. Yeah, as I said during the teaching, that there is a lot that Jesus wants to show us. But because of the wrongness of our heart, we can't see those things, or we are not seeing those things. Yeah, so we are going to pray. You're going to say, Lord Jesus, I desire to see and to know the mystery of your kingdom. Have mercy on me and show them to me. Open your mouth and begin to pray like that. Say, Lord Jesus, I desire to see and know the mysteries of your kingdom. Have mercy on me and reveal them to me. There are things that you will know and you can never remain the same again. You can never remain the same again. And there are things that you will know and you begin to control a lot of God's power and authority. And then God will allow you to use his power for many things. He will allow you to use his authority to get many things done. Say, Lord Jesus, reveal them to me by your mercy. In the name of Jesus, tell him to make your heart right, so that you can qualify for those revelations of his kingdom. Say, Lord Jesus, make my heart right so that I can qualify to see and to know the mysteries of your kingdom. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we are praying. Amen. I'm going to pray for you now. And also pray your water. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this moment you have allowed us to spend in your presence. Thank you for the things you have shown us from your word, especially from Matthew chapter 13. Thank you for showing us that our heart must be right if we are going to qualify to see and to know the mysteries of your kingdom. I ask, O Lord, that you show everyone here mercy and help them to make their hearts right in your sight. In Jesus' name. O Lord, help everyone here to make their ways right before you. in Jesus' name. I ask, O Lord, that you deliver them from self-will and from carnal living. Every self-will, every self-ambition, every disobedient lifestyle that have caused their spiritual eyes and ears to be blind and deaf. O Lord, deliver your people now from those things in Jesus' name. I pray for you that you stop becoming your own enemies, your own enemy, in the name of Jesus. I pray for you that the Lord will help you overcome the things that is stopping him from drawing you closer to himself. In Jesus' name. I pray that the Lord release his power into your water right now. In the name of Jesus. Yeah, for as many of you that have placed your water before the Lord, I decree that the power of God possess the water right now in the name of Jesus, and let God's fire combine with this water to do great deliverance inside of you, even in the depth of your spirit, soul and body. Let the fire of God mix with this water, and let that fire enter into every part of your life to do great deliverance as you drink the water in Jesus' name. I pray that the power of God that is now in the water shall do healing operations in your body system and in your soul and spirit. And everything that the enemy have damaged shall be healed instantly as this water touches those parts of your life. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for I know that you have answered. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, I have prayed. Amen. Yeah, because we are in fasting season, don't drink the water until when you're breaking your fast. Yeah, since we are in fasting period, have a blessed day. Amen.